This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Nationals, after their home opener yesterday, opening day at Nats Park was a lot of fun. Mark Zuckerman, massinsports.com. Nats fans showed out yesterday.
Thought it was awesome.
Sellout, which I didn't anticipate. 42,000 fans. I get that the home opener being on opening day does give a little bit more of a boost. But the last couple of years, and specifically remembering last year, which I think last year they opened away from Nats Park in Cincinnati. And so you come home after that for your home opener.
Mm-hmm.
Not being on opening day, it's going to water it down some. But that was the best first game atmosphere at Nats Park I can remember in several years.
It's been a minute. Yeah, I remember
during this rebuild. Like post-pandemic.
Right.
This was the best opening day vibes I've seen.
Yeah, there's the qualifier. So for me, I'm trying to remember the year. They all run together, the different years. But there was a Mets home opener and they ended up losing, but that was electric and so much fun. When it's a division rival, it's a little bit more spicy too in that regard. Made honestly, like people are going to be louder responding to Phillies fans who are known at times, maybe brace your ears, to instigate a few things and to maybe let their presence be known, even if nobody asked for it. So that kind of helps the buzz. I thought the park was great yesterday.
Before we get into the Commanders win total that came out, how about the interaction I had with the Phillies fan sitting next to you yesterday? If that doesn't just explain everything, right? I mean, give people your recollection of how it went.
Okay, so I'm not trying to, which story are you talking about? Because there were plenty. You're talking about the guy that,
the guy that sucked the worst, that was like a section over from us.
Yeah.
You and I were talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the quote-unquote good Phillies fan turns around and engages with us.
So, yeah, I'm hanging with a couple people. We're by our red box for the better part of the afternoon. And, conversations are happening. And good Philly fan, I put that in quotation marks, turns around and inserts himself.
You interacted with that guy already?
Yeah, dozens of times. Now, you'll notice I didn't reach out to him and ask him for any information or take. But he was very friendly, but just volunteered things.
So I wasn't there earlier. Right. I had no idea you guys had already interacted.
Oh, yeah. There was just constant. You know what it's like when somebody, a couple rows in front of you, does that full body slash head turn around? Like, actually, like you tried to actually me
a number of times. You're eavesdropping on it, my conversation.
Yeah. So I get that something maybe said that is inflammatory to you or you don't like or it's incorrect. And, what I do is I mind my business and carry on living my life. Not this Philly fan. So he had a lot of information for everybody, even if it wasn't asked for or whatever, but fine. Perfectly pleasant enough guy. So he turned around a number of times. But the time in question that you're talking about was, I think somebody did a bit or so, I can't remember how it started, about Philly fans. And I'm basically pointing out this one guy who, is what you think of. When older people think of young people, when they're like, this younger generation's so annoying, that's the guy they think of. A couple of earrings.
This is how it started, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Phillies had just done something, and he was standing up, like leaning over the row in front of him, yelling in the face of a Nats fan. But he was just very annoying with how he, and you're like, this guy, by the way, stinks. And I'm like, who? You're like, this guy right here. And we always do a thing. We don't point at people. We do like an opposite our finger.
Mm-hmm.
So I start turning around toward the concourse.
No. I'm actually pointing this way.
No, this time I'm actually pointing at the guy.
That guy stinks.
So I'm looking at him and I'm like, oh. And it took me 20 seconds of just watching how he handled himself, carried himself, talked to
people. You knew right away, didn't you?
And I said, my comment to you, now this is me talking to my buddy, who I spend more time with than I do my wife.
That's right.
Who I work with 4.5 hours every single day and some time before and after that, right? Just me and you having a conversation.
That's right.
Sitting next to each other. We are shoulder to shoulder at a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he is the fan from the Phillies fan base that gives them a bad name. When you think about why people hate Phillies fans, my point to you was most of them are pretty good. It's that guy. They have more of that guy than everybody else, unequivocally.
They have a higher percentage.
They just have too many of that guy because they've gotten comfortable and it's kind of celebrated within their fan base in a way that it's not. I don't think the good fans tell that guy to shut up and put him in his place enough. I think they kind of put them on a pedestal more than some. I don't know why. But I said to you, this is the problem for the Phillies, is this guy is the one that gets the headlines. And then this dude in front of us spins around, and he's like, he's got a whole spiel he's now lecturing me on. And he's the good one. He comes in peace. That's the, like, this is supposedly the ceiling, is this guy. Not a very good ceiling. You know what I mean? Because he even said, like, hey, I'm one of the good ones.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you guys, I'm one of the good ones. You know?
He's yelling at me about how the take is wrong, the national media take is not true.
Yeah, it seems like it's 90-10. It's
as
not.
He's doing this, a Phillies fan 10 rows down, this lovely lady who says she's an usher at Great American Ballpark.
They have different
way.
Kinds of ushers, I guess.
Turns around and flicks off the entire section, so the supervisor has to go over and tell her, please stop flicking everybody off. And she says she works at a ballpark, and we're allowed to flick people off in Philly. And they tell her they're not allowed to flick them off here.
They're like, hey, please don't do that. And she's dismissive and
but this
rude.
This guy's like, it's only not 10% of our fans. You guys focus on that 10%. And I'm like, yeah, bud, we do, because it's pretty outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
But also, for most fan bases, it's not 10%. Or if it is, your 10% is louder, is more noticeable, is more obvious. Like, it's not my fault that I don't like that guy who's ruining everyone's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's his fault. We need to get back to blaming the people that are the jackasses.
There you go. And by the way, it's respectfully to actually Guy from Philadelphia,
right,
or wherever he's from. It's not 90-10. It's more than that.
I don't know what the percentage is. I am leaving open the possibility that it is 90-10. We went to the link, albeit in club-level seats, probably mm-hmm. the most expensive seats you could have, because our good friends, the law firm, Kandori and Murad, take great care of their pals.
And Captain Hooked.
When we are on the road. But we're in the club level at the 50-yard line. You're not getting a whole lot of riffraff trying to throw up on little girls there or throw batteries at Santa Claus. We had a great time. Everybody was so nice to us. It was lovely, right?
Yeah.
I think there are great Philly fans.
I'm sure there are, yeah.
I believe that.
Definitely are.
Whether it's 10% or not, I think there are more dummies from that fan base than any other. And they suffer fools more than most of us do. That's my take. I will die believing.
Yeah, it's a very simple thing. It's glamorized. To them, it's a badge of honor, which is a trait of somebody that's like doesn't really fit in well with society. Like we've got there's an inherent desire for people to get along, right? I mean, there is, for the most part.
It's so true.
When you are antisocial and antagonizing purposefully, you are therefore out of step with the rest of us. And what it should be is, no, let's be correct. It doesn't mean you have to be a sheep and wear the same color and march in line to eat your gruel three times a day. This is in Soviet Russia in the 80s. What I'm saying is, when your whole point, and you think it's funny to antagonize others to such a degree, and you celebrate that, you are now different than the rest of us, right? You're worse. And they're worse.
But nobody checks them, it feels like.
But that's my point, because it's celebrated. Yeah. Where any reasonable fan of a different marketplace, and there are bad apples everywhere. We know that without question. Some of the worst incidents have had nothing to do with Philadelphia fans, right? Fights in parking lots and different things. That is inevitable. There are terrible Washington fans and New York fans and Detroit fans. Terrible fans everywhere. What we are able to do is go, oh my God, that's awful. I can't believe that happened. They're going, ha, 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 ha. Dude, there's John again. He went off. He probably was hammered. Wrong. But that's who they are. But anyway, so this Bama, I mean, this D1 goofball, this chotch, this absolute you-know-what goofball stew is the pits and the worst, and it took 7 seconds to figure it out. Where if I didn't point, you would have gone, is it that guy? I'm like, that's it. You win. You win the prize. But anyway, what was the point of starting this?
But what I said to the guy was, I said, but you don't understand, man. I sit in these seats every single game all year long. I'm here for every series. When the Diamondbacks are here next week, there will be no interactions like this. He's like, well, the Diamondbacks don't have fans. We're more passionate. Okay, sure. Not one single person likes the Diamondbacks or will be.
Yeah, there's a larger volume of Philadelphia
when
fans
the
than
Orioles
our Diamondbacks fans.
There's a great rivalry between the Orioles and the Nats. When they're here, when the Dodgers fans, who will overtake the ballpark, there will be more people wearing blue than wearing red at the Dodgers-Nats midweek series a couple weeks from now when Shohei is at the plate. Everyone will whip out their phones and will hit two bombs and have six exit velocities over 110 in three games. There will not be a single interaction like what I've seen three of in the three innings since I've sat down here with Danny before we do our postgame show. That's a you problem. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a me problem. It's only 10%. You guys focus on it too much. I'm sorry. Maybe you should just figure it out as a fan base. How do we weed those people out of here. I don't remember. I think I was just saying the atmosphere was great.
Yeah, and like, ultimately it was.
The ballpark was alive. People were excited. It was loud. I want to talk about all the booing of Bryce Harper. It was the loudest booing of a player in that ballpark that I've heard.
Bryce Harper?
Honestly, maybe ever. Because they haven't had, like, maybe an opening day before the pandemic with the Phillies, if they had that. I don't know if they did. It was just good vibes all the way around. It was really, really cool.
It was fun. Yeah, overall, great day, except for, you know, coming in second and whatever. But it's a long season. But I thought everything from start to finish for the Nats was really, really nice. I thought pregame, all that kind of stuff was well done. I thought all the ceremonies and
that
stuff was good.
What I really enjoyed is they had the original season ticket holders from 05 at RFK Stadium. Which was, I mean, you guys sleep on what a dump of a baseball ballpark that was.
Terrible place.
Everybody knew this is where you have to play for now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a makeshift operation until we get a real ballpark in a few years. But for season ticket holders who were waiting for decades to opt in, I mean, you had to wear it as a fan. And so to have all of them on the field shaking the flag and, you know, forming basically a high five line.
Kind of like
for
long
the players,
gauntlet. Yeah, it was great.
I thought that was well done. The intros were very good. Interestingly, Dylan Cruz is the biggest star on the team by far.
I know.
More than James Wood.
Yep.
James Wood, who's the local guy from D.C., who's mm-hmm. the higher ceiling, you know, future superstar. Now, Wood's, you know, got a chance to hit 40 home runs when it's all said and done in his career. Cruz is just a different player. He's awesome. He'll be a captain in the locker room type guy, and he's going to be a really, really good ball player. But I didn't think it was particularly close. I thought Cruz got the biggest ovation.
Biggest pop. So do Sean Doolittle one.
Yes.
And Dylan Cruz, too.
Maybe Gerardo Parra, too.
Parra, yeah. Parra 2A or 1A.
If you won a World
whatever.
Series and are still around, you get a really nice ovation.
Yeah, you graduated to you know, a little bit pudgy coach. They're in.
Brandon in Fairfax, you sleep on pudgy. Doolittle is ripped right now. He's been in the gym.
Hey, shredded, Brandon.
Yeah. Hey, Bob.
What's up, bud?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I think your number is a little off between 90 and 10. When I was in Philly for the NFC game, I would say for every 99, there was one fan that was like, hey, we got to play somebody else. So it was rough, man.
Where'd you sit?
We were way up.
Oh, you're in the nosebleeds?
Hanging out with the common folk.
Yeah.
That's probably the only ticket I could have afforded for that game if I went in the stands. So I understand it. But I don't think you could pay me enough to do that. Because sitting up there with the unwashed masses...
Yeah.
I did it
once at the vet as an in shape, you know, like fairly like an idiot, but a fairly confident individual. I said, I'm never doing that again, ever.
Yeah,
it's not a toughness contest, dude. I'm supposed to be enjoying this. I don't want to sit there like
now.
I'm in a self defense class.
I do it all the time. You always joke about me being on the glass from time to time, but I still will at Capital One Arena. I'll go up and sit in the 400s for hockey games. I have not this season. This is like the first season I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But for playoff games, recently, I've been up there.
Yeah.
I will sit there. I've had my back to the wall at Capital One Arena for games, you know, last season several times.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem doing that. Absolutely not. I think it's harder for Wizards games. I just don't think the visual is as good for basketball that high.
At Cap One, I don't like it for basketball. Yeah.
But hockey, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're like lower 400 level, if you're near the first few rows, I think that's as good a seat as there is in the house.
I sat in one of those for one of the Islanders playoff games back in the day when the best of seven.
Who's
the game went seven?
Game winner?
I think so. I don't remember. I think it was, you know, game three, game four. I can't remember, whatever was at home. And I kind of looked around a bunch of times and go, this is actually a great view for hockey.
It's the best.
Because if you don't care about individual characteristics of players, I know this is going to sound weird. I don't have a better way to quantify it than this. For basketball, I want to see faces, head fakes, you know, I want to see where someone's eyes are darting or, you know, a no-look pass or whatever. And hockey, less important to me because they're all so uniform with their helmets and stuff on. So you could see the formation of plays and, okay, this guy's skating ahead, so maybe there's a through pass coming.
Right.
Or you could see the forecheck. You could see the line change. Things develop and you go, this is actually, I don't want to say a better view, but a unique way to watch it.
I think most road NFL stadiums, and I separate NFL because the tailgating just means alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a drunkenness that leads to people acting sillier and goofier and tougher than they normally would. Because there's no tailgating. You know, you don't, think about it. You don't really see fights at a Major League Baseball game. I mean, I shouldn't say that.
They happen.
That's probably number two.
But there's so many games.
Basketball and hockey where, like, you're getting off work, you're getting over to the arena, you're throwing on a sweater, there's no alcohol being consumed before you get in. You almost never see melees, fights, whatever, in the stands, basketball and hockey. You'll get one or two a year on social media or something. Same thing for baseball, although they certainly have those, and it's dangerous at times when it happens. But football is where the fights happen mostly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weekend. You've been drinking all morning. You go into the stadium. And I say all this to say 400 levels anywhere, maybe you're dealing with a little more of people that are willing to give you a hard time. I remember when I was a teenager riding up to the Meadowlands with my best buddy, and we watched the Giants-Redskins game at the time, wearing our Chris Cooley jerseys, and had things poured on us and dumped on us at the end of the game. And people were jerks the whole time. Like, when you sit up there, you kind of know what you're opting into.
Mm-hmm.
But the only place I would refuse to do it is Philly. Cincinnati, you know, this year they're going to Kansas City and Minnesota and Miami. I would sit up high for those games and watch it. I think there's some good seats for football. But Philly, not enough money.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
My high-definition television's 90 inches. My chips are crunchy. My Cola Classic is warm. We don't want it warm.
Why would you want it warm?
I meant to say cold.
What the hell is wrong with you?
No, I apologize.